I remember some years ago when we were going to have our very first wedding in this church's existence, and I was thinking about the ceremony and the liturgy. I was trying to think of what biblical basis was contained for the traditional wedding ceremony that we used. And so I was looking through Scripture, and I happened upon Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, where God says, He says to Israel, I remember the love of your betrothal when you went after me in the wilderness. And this led to another series of verses in the Old Testament where God kept referring to what happened between himself and Israel at Mount Sinai as a wedding ceremony, as a betrothal. And of course, that leads into all the verses where he refers to Israel's idolatry as being adultery. Now, this all plays on the Jewish tradition of wedding at that time. We have everything take place in a single ceremony. They had things take place in a dual ceremony separated by a period of time. The first part was the betrothal, and that's when the bride and the groom actually took the oaths, was at the betrothal. And then they would not come together. The marriage would not be consummated till sometime later at the wedding feast, which is something that the father of the groom would secretly plan, and neither his son nor the bride nor anybody else would know when it was going to be. And so God refers to Sinai as a betrothal. And so I started reading through the proceedings at Sinai, and it was amazing because while I don't know exactly the history of how we came up with our traditional wedding service in North America and in England as well and so forth, I don't know how we came up with that, but it traces the events of Sinai exactly. If you look beyond all the mere words and see exactly what's going on, it is exactly an exchange of oaths between God and Israel with Moses presiding as the officiant. And so one of the things that happens in this ceremony is before the oaths are exchanged, before the commitments are made, first there has to be a statement of intentions. Now, in a traditional wedding service, if you follow all the details, the father of the bride is going to bring the bride down the aisle and bring her up to the front where the groom is, but he's not going to let go of his daughter until he hears from this groom what his intentions are with regard to his daughter. And then the groom states what his intentions are, what his pledges of love are. Only at that point does the father then let go of his daughter and let the groom come and take her up. And then you have the exchange of oaths. Well, this statement of intentions is exactly what the preface to the Ten Commandments is. God says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's God's statement of intentions. Now, you'll notice this is a little different. That's a little weird for a statement of intentions, because instead of God talking about his future intentions, because in a wedding ceremony, you are left dependent on the honor and the oath of the groom and making good on what he's saying and being sincere in what he's saying. What God says is stuff he's already done. And what's significant about this is that God is essentially saying, I don't need to tell you what I'm going to do in the future for you to know about my love. I will tell you what I have just done in the past, because I've already proven my love and commitment to you. First, he says, I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah or Yahweh your God. And Yahweh or Jehovah means I am. I am that I am. In other words, God never changes. I never change. Which means God is always faithful. He always keeps his promises. He never fails to do what he says he will do. He never changes his commitments because that's who he is. It's not just what he did one day. It's who he is. And God has already proven that to the bride because he has entered into her captivity. Now, she already jilted him once in the Garden of Eden and ran off. Now he's come after her. He's come into her captivity. He has brought her out. He is bringing her back to himself and taking her again. And he's already proven his love. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You know who I am because I've already proven it. Those are my intentions, to be who I've showed myself to be. The rest of the Ten Commandments is the commitment of the bride to love God as God and to love all of those who bear his image. Loving God, that's her duty and that's what she is committed to do. So we have a wondrous God, and this is the same God we're about to go to right now to confess our sins. We know who he is because he's already proven it. He proved it in the Exodus, but he proved it supremely through Christ on the cross.